Yeah. Welcome to the Spot Podcast. I'm your host, TJ, brought to you by With.
Ahmed.
Yeah. Right now, we here at Jack in the Box just eating our fucking, what, fast food?
Yep.
Oh, man. I got some munchies.
Well, it's roughly around 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. here, and we are eating some fast food.
It's fucking not, it's not bad.
It's good. I got some curly fries. And
a sriracha burger, curly fries. Yes, two tacos. Not bad. You guys get comfortable.
So, TJ, what's up with you, man?
What's up with me? A lot of shit happened. But it's kind of like an ongoing process. You could call it a revelation of sorts.
you want to tell the crowd listening?
Not really. In terms of like details wise, let's just say that I came to a better understanding of what I want in life eventually, endgame wise. So in terms of when I grow old and fucking pass away or something, I know what I want eventually in my life. How I get there is, that's the journey. So I don't really know, but I know at the end of the day, this is something I want.
And then you realize all this in 1 week? This week only? Or it's been building up?
It's something I've always wanted, but I didn't realize I lost. Because I lost something, I lost it a long time ago. And if I was to describe the feeling, I'll describe it as a type of nostalgia, but it invoked nostalgia, I should say. But it was definitely an overwhelming sensation of just pure love of what I felt. And it was like a warm blanket that wrapped around me. And I forgot how that felt within that capacity. In that context. So if I was just to say, actually, it's basically having a family, honestly. It's to have a big family, actually. Whether it's my children, then my children's children, and my children's children's children, or just people I interact with and become friends with and eventually would like to call family. And to be at, let's say, a family dinner table and just to observe what's occurring in the dining room and I just see a bustling dinner, that's something I honestly miss. Because I've lost that, a family. I lost family. That's what I felt like I lost for a long time. And I didn't realize how much I appreciated it because I took it for granted.
Yeah. I think a lot of us do, man.
I know.
Until it's gone.
Until it's literally when you realize how lonely you are because you don't have family around you. That's like, it's really impactful and it fucks up your psyche. And it fucks up your, it creates such high levels of insecurity and depression because you don't realize what the capacity of a family is. And it doesn't have to be your mom, your dad, or whatever. It could just be anybody.
Like, friends can be family, too.
Yeah. If anything, friends are more likely to become family because you adopt them into your, creed.
Yeah, into your world, you know?
Yeah.
Bring them in. TJ, I just wanted you to know, man, that you are an awesome storyteller, man. Like, I'm sure other people agree with me. You're a good storyteller, man. So you want a dynasty like the Mongolians?
Yeah.
The Mongolian dynasty.
I want a little piece of me and everybody. Genetically.
Hey, man. Do what you gotta do, you know? Man, this burger's too good, man. I can't focus right now.
You're looking good. But yeah. But I've always known this, but I didn't realize it until literally like the weekend where I encountered two different situations of quote unquote what a family is. And one was a family of friends who became so close to each other that they identified as a family. Then the other one was a legit family with cousins, blood relatives, all coming together and just celebrating the birth of another family member. And it's those two literally back to back, and just me witnessing that was just awe-inspiring. And just to realize that that was something that I was lacking in life was a real insecurity about myself, and that brought me to tears.
I hear you, man. Isn't like in your culture, family is like a big part of who you are, like as a child and growing up.
Yeah.
Because even like you guys are very close to each other in the Filipino community, and like the family, you know,
mm-hmm.
cousins and uncles and aunts, they're very close to each other. I've noticed this over time, you know.
But the thing is that in my situation, my family is separated. Not like my parents, but I meant like my cousins and the rest of my family are all spread out through America. It's just me and my parents here in the States. And, in California. So everyone else is gone. So when we have birthdays and holidays and celebrations, it's just me and my parents.
Over the phone, yeah. Over the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have family in the Philippines?
Yeah, but I don't know them. Because I hardly communicated with them growing up. It was very difficult. Because A, this is before social media. B, my concern wasn't family. C, I don't have their fucking phone number.
Well, check this out, man. Like, when we were growing up, man, I was really close to my cousins, right? And I think everybody just went their separate ways, man. Like you said, my family scattered around the U.S. too, and like back home too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hear you. Like, it's kind of hard to, for us, you don't have their number, and then you know you can't contact them.
You have a large family member? I mean, not family member.
Like a big family member who's obese?
Nah.
I'm kidding.
I meant, do you have a large family? A large family here.
Yeah, like
in town.
Mhm. I have my uncles like who live really close to me.
Your uncle?
Two my uncles. I'm not really close to any of them though. We just do our separate thing.
But what's crazy, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, you're still family.
I tell myself that, but like you know,
in my
culture, it's a lot of drama, man. Like in my family, especially.
What do you mean?
People just conflicts, man. A lot of conflict.
A lot of financial, what, just like ego?
Ego, pride. Financial, everything, man. After like my grandma passed away, just things just changed. You saw true colors of people, like who they really are. Just trying to take over the finances of what she left behind, you know, all the state and stuff, you know?
That's legit the same thing when my grandpa passed away.
And it's just a human instinct, man. It happens everywhere. It's kind of sad.
Like it divided our family.
Yeah, money, man. That's why I want to like bring something up. I want to ask you, what would you do, man? Would you choose time or would you choose money? Because in this day and age, man, people will stay time, but many people I've seen is they will choose money at the end of the day.
I think money because it'll allow them to resolve like 95 of their issues immediately if they're granted a large sum of money like the next morning.
I that's true, but like you know a lot of those issues are created because of your mistakes. You know, a lot of people make dumb decisions. They want to, in this society, a lot of people want to be better than the other person. I feel like today's day and age society has become way too materialistic. What would you say about that?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, like, I want the best car, I want the best shoes, I want to look better than this person. And then that, you create yourself in a hole, you know, you just put yourself in debt. credit cards, just trying to compete with people. So, and I've seen that, like, I'm talking about personal experience in my family, a lot happens. You know, you just want to be, your success is determined by what you have, is not how you carry yourself, but like what you drive and how big is your house, how many rooms you got, how many bathrooms are in your house, shit like that, like stupid stuff. So it's kind of sad, man. Like, you know, if sometimes you don't got money, man, you know, you're not trying to compete with people, people will leave you behind. They will stop hanging out with you. It's just sad. Like, it happens. Like,
is that common?
Very common in my family, but it could be in my culture too. It's very much like that. Our society is very competitive. They like to compete and one up each other. Like, it's just a lot of egos clashing, especially in my family. So it's definitely like something, you know, people need a change on.
Is that a tradition?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a tradition, but it's about to be one. It's like almost there. Like, it's turning into one. It's kind of sad.
Would you break that cycle with your kids?
Oh, definitely, man. I want my kids to go through like struggle and then failure, because that's how they build character. Because if everything is rainbow and sunshine, you know, they won't learn from mistakes. You know, if you don't struggle, you're not gonna fail, and failure builds character, you know, and that definitely changes you as a person. So I feel like I definitely want my kids to experience some sort of hardship and failure. So I had to take a bite of this fry. It looked good. But definitely want, like, I've gone through a little bit of hardship. My parents have, you know. I feel like that builds everybody's character, you know. Separates you from the other person. If we just lived in a linear society, you know, everybody would be the same.
That's communism.
Yeah. That is true, yeah.
You see how that goes.
Yeah, it's... No. But that's my little spiel of things, man.
I see. It's not bad. The food is great, is what I'm talking about.
Well, at 1 a.m., it's good.
But that's insane. Like, but that's the thing, though. I feel like in many cultures, it's like that. It's always been around wealthy, rich, and individuals of status. That's human nature, I believe.
Another thing in my culture, there's like a caste system.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is like below your caste, you know, it's frowned upon to marry them and stuff, you know.
I see.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of sad.
A social caste system.
You should marry like whoever the hell you want, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you're really gonna marry this person? Like, you know, they don't have a lot to offer, you know. They're not rich, you know. Their parents live in a small house. They live in an apartment, blah blah blah. It's kind of sad, dude. I've seen it personally happen in my family and families around me. You know, growing up, when I was growing up. I don't know if it happened in the Philippines, but.
It definitely happens with the Philippines, but I can't really say, because I'm definitely more American than anything. Like, I have Filipino culture. I grew up around Filipino culture.
You have just the Filipino blood in you.
Yeah, but I definitely have the Filipino culture. However, I struggle to identify with it because I don't speak the language. I don't understand the language.
So you say you... Not understanding the language, you can't fully synchronize with their culture?
Very much so. Because it's the language. Language is the first thing when it comes to culture.
I think you're right. Yeah, definitely.
Because like, how do you communicate?
If you don't speak the language, you don't really know.
You're not communicating.
Because the
you're not
dialect and everything is like way different than...
Not just sonically, but the slang, the humor... point of interest when you're having a conversation, the inflections of tones, or just basically the language is the key to communication. Yeah, there's sign language and all that other jazz, but you know, communication is communication, and it's through language. So me not being able to speak my native tongue, which is unbearable at times, is very, very like It makes me feel insecure when I'm amongst other Filipinos. So I, in time, just slowly started separating myself from, not identifying as Filipino, but...
Like an American Filipino.
Yeah.
American first and Filipino after?
Yeah. That's a fucking loud ass engine.
Something's probably broken inside.
But that's how it is. And to be... to be alien within your own, you know, within your own culture. It's, I forgot what the term was, but it fucking sucks. It really sucks because I can't communicate with other Filipinos. And when they speak the native tongue around me, I don't understand what the fuck they're saying.
So let me ask you this: you have kids. Would you make them teach Filipino first, or sorry, Tagalog, as their first language? I would say that's probably a good idea.
It's a good way, and it's gonna force me to learn too along them. But that's only if my wife also knows Tagalog. But the thing is I don't know who my wife will be. I don't know if she's gonna be another Filipino. I don't even know. She could be completely different.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Could be completely different. Could be a different religion. Could be a different race. Different upbringing.
It's nice. Sorry, I'm cleaning my hands real quick. Making a lot of sound.
Oh, man.
No, it's nice that you're, like, hella open-minded, you know, like, open to possibilities.
Like I said, I want a family. I know that's a fact for sure. How I get there is a journey, and I can't rush shit like that. If you, like, I'm not gonna go meet the first girl and fucking pop a baby inside her or something. Even if that would feel amazing, but it's not gonna be great. It's not gonna be a smart move.
I feel like you should be stable first, you know, get yourself stable.
Without a doubt. I got some other shit to clear out with myself too, but I'm self-aware of what I want eventually, and allowing myself to have this goal gives me clarity in life. Gives me a sense. It further strengthens myself by providing myself with a purpose. And I could just strive for this purpose even harder. Everything I do will eventually start going towards this purpose. Regardless, whether it's me improving in my career, me expanding my social circle, me doing things that I would not normally do, it all puts towards my end game goal, which is to eventually have a family. That is what I want eventually. Doesn't matter how I get it, but I'm gonna fucking get it. That's fact. It's written in stone. It's fact. Unless I get fucking shot on the street, God forbid, right now. God damn, please don't get shot, Captain, right now. But it made me realize, it was like, okay, I want a family, but I need to fix my family right now. Because I still have a family. I could improve, like, what can I improve with what the fuck I have right now? I have a disconnected family. We're not broken. We're just disconnected.
For the audience listening, by family, you don't mean your immediate family. Like,
I fucking
parents.
Mean my immediate family.
Like
parents
and stuff?
My parents and my brother, yes.
So what would you... So, like, do you spend a good amount of time with them?
No. But I have been putting steps to mending that. Because I'm a fucking piece of shit, and I realize that. I'm a scumbag. And I realized that... pretty late that I took my family, I'm taking my family for granted. But I was building this resentment and I was pushing them away because it felt claustrophobic.
Was it like your ego that was getting in the way, or?
I felt like I was stuck and I wasn't growing as a person. So I was pushing them away so I could grow. Right? But
so you thought them, they were stopping you from growing?
They're basically babying me my whole life, right? And I wasn't able to do things that I was not prepared well enough to take on life as it should be, right? Some people might be doing some other things that would look at me and be like, oh, wow, you don't know how to do that shit? But... That allowed me to focus on other things that I probably improved on and developed skills that they probably haven't had, right? But it's just it's a give and take on kind of things. But it allowed me to realize that, you know, I'm gonna have to improve myself on this, and it starts with the people around me.
I think that's just a circle of life, isn't it? Like, someone is good at something, you're good at something else. They're not good at. I don't know. Like,
I'm not comparing myself. I mean, yes, I am comparing myself, but. what I need to do is just improve on what you have. And that's just a baseline philosophy. Because it's easy to take the things that you have around you for granted because it's happening now. And when everything is smooth and a well-oiled machine, you're comfortable. And when you're comfortable, you develop expectation of things.
Yeah, that's...
And that's when you take things for granted. Because it's working so efficiently, it feels like it just should. And when it doesn't, that's when you get put down. Or that's when you start building anger and resentment. Or it's because you have this expectation of something to occur.
And then that's when you start blaming your family for, you know,
you can blame it all for good. Everything, for anything.
Like, you guys didn't prepare me for this.
I mean, that's it. Yeah, and then you have to start forgiving. A wise man once told me you have to start forgiving.
It all starts with forgiveness, man.
You got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive what other people did to you, and that's gonna. It's just, I feel like it's simple philosophy. It might sound like
it's like
simple shit, but it really is simple shit.
It's like a book, man. You gotta close a chapter, start new beginnings, you know?
You gotta
let the past go sometimes, you know, to start as a new person.
Dude. It's a fucking cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason, because it's a cliche is when it's been tried and true and it's a standard archetype of a genre of life of something, right? It's an archetype.
Like a norm, right? You know, just...
Yeah. That's what a cliche is. But as cliche as it is, it's fact. It's fucking fact. And it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. That's why I choose time over the money, based on that one question. Me, personally. Because I could... Time... You can't get time back, but you could always get money back. Mine, I feel like, is temporary. But yeah. Time, given time, you could create something that lasts longer than monetary value. You could create a legacy that will give you wealth over time, which goes beyond money.
Just a good quality time, you know, will surpass no matter how much money you have or how much money you want, you know, like,
yeah,
a good time,
well invested with
genuine, with natural happiness will surpass money any day.
Yeah.
People ask me, dude, like, why do you want to be a pilot when everybody's trying to be like engineers and doctors in today's day and age, make blah, blah, blah amount of money, blah, blah. I was like, honestly, man, like, I don't care how much money I'm gonna make. It's just the passion that brings me true happiness. And I could see myself doing it for my whole life. That's why I'm doing it. Simple as that. You know, that's... Obviously, pilots don't make that much money compared to, like, a doctor or something. But just the idea of happiness that will bring me is a lot more than money for me, so...
Yeah, that's the wealth.
Yeah.
And what does that require? Time.
Time.
Can you buy your experience on a plane? I don't think you can.
Obviously, it's expensive.
You have to get how many hours? 500?
Well, 5,000? Like 1,500 to work for an airline. Obviously, there's a lot of money, but...
You can't buy 1,500 hours.
You can't buy it, yeah. Like, it's... Obviously, like, you pay for your time, pretty much.
Yeah.
But that time is the time you put in to get there, so, you know...
But you learn so much more in time.
Yeah.
That's why I always pick time. Always pick time. More time means more money. More wealth. But don't get me wrong, fucking having money right now is great. I mean, fucking just instant cash right now, fucking the next day, fix all my problems, all my debts, all my fucking hustles. Just
small things that you think will, like, take care of you and your family. Dude, yeah, I think everybody with a
large,
will do that.
Yeah, a large sum of immediate money will resolve many people's 99%
Yeah. I was just gonna say that, man. Like, 99% of your problems will be resolved if for some immediate cash.
Yeah. It's just trying to achieve that sustainable wealth.
Yeah.
When you get sustainable wealth, that gives you then you're able to basically just start working on improving yourself as a person. That's the fucking struggle. And to be living here in the Bay, fuck that shit.
That's the American dream, man.
That is the American dream.
Ask anybody back home, around the world, that is the American dream, man.
Yeah.
But...
what do you think, man? What do you think about family, though? Because I was talking about how... do you have an end game? Do you have an end game plan that you set for yourself? Because I feel like you're really here in the now, right?
Yeah, I don't have an end game, to be honest with you. I don't know
what like, my what happens is. When you become a captain?
My mom is worried that no one's going to marry me. I'm not going to find the one because I'll always be traveling. And that's... though I don't think about it too much right now. Just think about flying. I'm just being honest with you, man. Like... that's, like,
I'm giggling at the fact that your mom is thinking that you're not gonna find a wife.
Yeah, I know. What if there's some truth to it, though?
Nah. Dude, when you become fucking Captain Akhtar and you start emceeing on the mic right before takeoff, panties are gonna drop before you even take off.
Oh, God.
Dude. They're like, who the fuck is this? Hello, this is your captain speaking. My name's Captain AA. Ahmed Akhtar.
Captain AA battery checking in.
I'm going to give you on this high-powered flight straight to heaven, baby. Oh,
you know how moms are, though, man. Like, they always worry.
They always worry.
Like, sometimes I don't tell my mom I have a flight because she just gets worried, man.
Is she terrified of you in the sky?
Yeah, like every day, bro. Like she does a little bit of prayer on me before I leave. Some protection.
Really?
Yeah. That's like a shield. That's pretty sick. And I feel protected, man.
I can't relate.
Yeah.
I honestly appreciate my mom
for that, man. It's like a shield that you can't see. It's like a spiritual shield.
A blessing.
Yeah, it's like you're in a bubble that's protecting you. Mm. And she does
that. That's crazy because... actually, that philosophy has always been going on forever. The Zulu warriors, fun fact, Shaka Zulu, the one who brought all the tribes together in fucking Africa to fight. Who did they fight? Fucking...
the British?
Nah.
I don't know, man.
I forgot who they fought. I think they fought the Romans. Something like that. But they fought somebody. But they... I think it was the British. Because they were astounded by the fact that they had zero fucks when they went to war. And they were getting shot down by guns.
But they still won, huh?
They didn't win, no. They got fucked up. But they were amazed. Because they're amazed that they weren't afraid of getting shot. Because they believed that they were protected. They had this blessing. This invisible barrier around them, right? This body armor. This force field. And... if someone else they saw, it was a teammate, a friendly warrior who got shot, they would just believe, oh, that person just, it just didn't work for them. The blessing didn't work for them.
Their time has come.
Yeah. That's how they believe.
That's crazy, man.
And it's a common philosophy in the warrior mentality. I believe.
When my mom does that, I feel like I can accomplish anything.
I know, right?
It's I am not scared of anything.
You have a safety net around.
Yeah, I am not scared of anything.
And when you have no fear, that's the most deadliest person.
That's the most deadliest person. I agree with you, man.
When you have nothing else to lose, that's the deadliest person in the room.
Yeah, man. When you're flying every time, you gotta think about that, man. This could be your last day.
Oh, being the deadliest person in the room?
Well, man, something happens, it could be your last day. So you gotta have that. You can't be scared of death.
That's fucking crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Because you never know, man. That one day, shit can happen.
Are there moments where you're not scared of dying?
Sometimes, obviously, there's times where you just gotta...
when you get a pump?
When
you go to the gym and you get a fucking pump?
Nah, not at the gym, like, but, like, obviously, people past, like, you know, obviously there's so many crashes in history of planes and stuff. Just reading the voice recording box, you can see it in the voice of the pilots. They just accepted their fate. They tried everything they could. You can just hear that sadness in their voice, but they've come to the conclusion that, you know, the Grim Reaper is there. Take them.
God,
that's kind of sad.
Is there a Grim Reaper in in like a Middle Eastern Muslim culture?
Well, I don't really think so, but it's like a worldwide thing, like that's accepted. So
like, what would you be wearing? Would you wearing like a shemak, a sheikh hoodie? What would you
wear? It's called, I don't know what it's, I forgot what it's called. It's like the angel of death that comes.
And he's wearing a turban, but he's still a skeleton. Riding a camel with the fucking sight.
No.
That would be fucking sick. He's sitting on a camel, on a skeletal camel, right? Instead of a skeletal horse. Depending on the region, he switches animals because he has to transport the Grim Reaper, right?
It's like the, I'm going to take my horse.
Oh my God. I was going to say.
The cowboy hat with the horse.
If you ever watched Courage and the Cowardly Dog.
Yeah, I know.
You remember the one episode with the, return the slab.
Yeah.
Return the slab or suffer my curse. Bro. Dude, that episode was terrifying, but that's what I imagine.
Yeah.
Just like in the middle of
that
the
desert. That show was terrifying as a
kid.
Dude,
it was not for kids.
You remember those feet that would just talk?
Oh, that was hilarious. Oh, yeah, but yeah.
I'm not your wedding.
That's the fucking voices we do. The fucking, the 1920s paperboy accent. The Great Depression accent. The mobster accent.
No, but like, this one voice recording I was listening to, it's really sad, but the captain was like, to this co-pilot, he's like, well, shit, Jim, looks like this is it. That's the last thing they said.
Oh, shit.
It's crazy.
What did Jim
man?
Say?
Nothing, just listen to his captain,
he's
bro.
He's fucking, he was probably like shitting himself.
That's what they say, man. Like, looks like our time is up, man. Like, something really calm, but like, them accepting.
You have to fucking accept it. You're in a giant metal tube in the sky moving at like 800 miles an hour and fucking about to crash into the planet into a fiery ball.
I'm a firm believer, man. When it's your time, it's your time. Can't run away from it.
Yeah. And pilots are not supposed to abandon ship, right? That's the same thing with like a captains.
Cruise captain and stuff.
Yeah, cruise captain, right? You're supposed to go down with
that. That's why when they say you really want to do it, you want this much responsibility in your life. People's lives on your hand.
I fucking say.
That responsibility and character comes with experience, man. Over time, you can buy that. Money doesn't buy you that.
Are you?
It's time.
Are you accepting with the fact that you're going to be taking on all these lives under your wing? Literally, under your fucking wing? Every time
you, I think about it, like, it's surreal, like, thinking about it. I'm like, damn, bro, like, all these people are going to be just sitting in a plane and relying on me, which is kind of cool and like just crazy to think about it right now, but over time you accept it and that's how you build your character, you know?
Because I don't know how it is, but I'm assuming, I don't know, I look in a cockpit and it looks fucking just complicated as fuck. Buttons and switches everywhere. Is there like a Tesla fucking airplane there where it goes from like 0 to like 1,000 in 1.2 seconds?
There's
with no sound, makes no noise.
No, they're, if they're gonna go to 1,000 knots per minute, you know, per hour, like it's definitely gonna break the sound barrier, bro. So you're gonna have to listen to something.
No, Tesla cars don't make noise.
Well, those are electric, but.
Electric fucking jet.
Bro, if you're breaking the sound barrier, bro, it's physics. You're gonna hear a loud boom. Do you know that do you remember the Concorde? The plane?
Oh, I thought I was thinking about the shoes.
No, I guess the plane. The plane used to like travel like,
yeah.
It's just traveling at 1,000 knots or 1,500 knots per hour, dude. It used to get to New York from London in like 3 hours, dude. Oh. Used to go to sonic speed, I believe.
Wait, in 3 hours?
Yeah.
How far is London to New York?
8 hours right now, I think. So it was less. A lot of business people used to take that plane. But then they had a crash and then they took it out of service.
So one crash?
One big crash, yeah, dude. The plane burned. But it was pilot's mistake.
Then why not keep using it?
It was expensive to run it, man. Like, if that fuel it used to take was insane.
Dude. That
they're
plane,
bringing
3 hours.
They're bringing back sonic flights again, dude. Like transatlantic, like fast flights, like faster than the speed of light and stuff. They're bringing
speed
that back.
Faster than the speed of light. That's bullshit.
Not a speed of light. I'm so sorry.
Speed of sound.
Speed of sound. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, if it was faster than speed of light, bro, you would get around the fucking planet in an instant.
Not speed of light, bro. Light. Speed of sound.
The fucking, I'll call it Flash. The Flash.
Flash plane.
Flash plane. Flash Industries.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's switch gears.
Switch
let's
gears.
Let's talk about this just came to my head. Let's talk about something.
What do you want to talk about, man?
So, if you had the power in this world and everybody listened to you, what's one thing or two things you would change right now that are going on? And I'll ask, answer them after you.
I was not expecting that kind of question.
Bro, you asked me some loaded questions too.
But my loaded questions require you to think. This one seems like...
This one requires you to think too.
I don't know. Yeah, that's true. But I feel like this kind of icebreaker just is... Fuck.
Just answer it, bro. People want to hear it. People want to hear what teasing was.
I already got what I wanted. Everyone is listening to me.
Oh, okay.
But if to change, shit. Like, I wouldn't want world peace. Because through peace, chaos is born.
Yeah.
People are always gonna be unequal in some capacity, and someone's going to always want what another person has. Envy is a legit thing.
But what is this truck? Look at this van. Looks so
shady as
shady
fuck.
As fuck. Yeah, I was gonna say that.
It's a shady ass van, but it's
gonna sound too, bro.
But yeah, so world peace is not really a thing, because if you force world peace, that's just a dictatorship. End world hunger? Probably end world hunger and... Oh, I know what I'll do. Explore our underseas and our space more.
Space has been explored so much.
Dude. Nah, bro.
You know, they only know 5% of the ocean.
That's
crazy, dude.
That's why I said discover literally...
Underseas, yeah.
Force every country in the world to start investing not on war... But on, you know, improvements of humanity.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to get out, fucking go in space and space travel, and go into our own fucking planet and start, you know, finding that underground world.
I would.
The land of no tomorrow, some shit, whatever it's fucking called. The one with the rock.
Yeah, I will make mine quick. I will also end world hunger and bring peace in the Middle East.
Only in the Middle East? That's fucked up.
Bring peace everywhere in the world, but peace in the Middle East needs to happen, bro. Peace in the Middle East.
Damn. Yeah. Only your country?
No. I'm not even from the Middle East. Relax.
Bro. So what? You want peace in another area?
Because chaos starts with the Middle East, bro. Like, countries side with each other, and then the war happens, and then blah, blah, blah. So you bring peace over
there.
That's
where it started.
See, yeah, so if you bring peace there, like the hub of, you know, warfare, you just, you know.
I guess so.
Well, yeah. World hunger would be nice, man. Just breaks my heart seeing, like, these people, you know, these posts people post online, you know, kids starving and stuff. It's just kind of sad. Breaks my heart.
It does break my heart.
Yeah.
I don't know. The thing is I honestly can't really help them too much.
You can just hope for them, to be honest. There's not much you could do. Yeah, you can donate to these organizations, but at the end of the day, you know.
Do you really
know? Some of the organizations are crooked, man.
I know. How much is that fucking music video of the crying baby on the side of the street and a white lady walking up to them and just telling, you could donate 10 cents to this baby? I'm like, where's my 10 cents going? I don't believe it.
The CEO of that organization.
Probably. Of that Red Cross, I don't know if it's Red Cross, but
no, these Red Cross and like these other like organizations are legit, but like these smaller
nonprofits or some shit,
nonprofits that
private profits
that are in honor of this person who died. I don't believe in those, you know,
it's fucking difficult. But the thing is though, they have stores, markets, and electricity in Africa. Those videos that they did, those recordings. That's literally on, like, the most poorest parts of the country.
Yeah, that have no infrastructure or nothing.
That's like going to the Deep South and doing the same shit. Just go to the Deep South here in America and you'll realize that there's legit poverty in our backyard. And just do a video of that and donate 10 cents to the guy right next to you.
It's everywhere, man.
Dude.
You just gotta look for it.
People are always, like, thinking about leaving, like, helping people outside of our country when our own country is pretty fucked up.
I guess so, yeah. I
don't know. Why are you gonna start helping outside when you gotta work on the inside? First. That's what I think. Starts with the inside. You gotta forgive yourself and accept that you're a piece of shit, you know, as an individual. And once you start accepting the fact that you're a piece of shit, you can start fixing yourself.
I think all the politicians are pieces of shit.
I don't want to get into fucking top politics right now.
Yeah, neither do I, but...
Especially when it's honestly season time for fucking politics right now.
Yeah, I'm not remember, like you said, first day, we're not going to talk about that.
I'm not educated enough. I'm still very ignorant when it comes to my politics. If anything, I'm going out and talking to people who know about politics, and they're just educating me on it, because I'm just...
How'd you running for president, bro? Kidding.
Me? That'd be insane. I can't even run for, like, class president. I have the charisma. I'll Donald Trump it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, there you go, man.
I could easily Donald Trump my way to fucking seat just by fucking sweet-talking my way and just shit-talking and sweet-talking my way. It'll be fucking hilarious, because people eat that shit all... They eat that shit. They eat it like it's fucking a rare candy in Pokemon, just so they feel like they leveled up. But in fact, you didn't work for that shit. Wow. You play Pokemon, right?
No.
Dude, okay, so fun fact. In Pokemon, if you use rare candies, which is... you know what a rare candy is?
No.
So it's a consumable in the game.
And like a Pokemon takes it?
Yeah. You give it to your Pokemon, and your Pokemon levels up. Right?
Like to the next stage?
Yeah, to the next level. You know, like...
Evolves?
Like, if the next level made them evolve, but the next level isn't... Because it's numerical, like level 1 to 2, oh, 2 to 3, okay, 3 to 4,
it,
right?
Got it.
So, when you give them these rare candies, it levels up their stats. However, a Pokemon that, you know, battled and gained field experience and leveled up, their stats are more actually higher than the one that did the rare candy. Because the people who got the rare candy are fucking entitled pieces of shit that just got that instant gratification right then and there. But the Pokemon that trained and battled went through these hardships, bro.
Hold on. Why did they put this in the game then?
I don't even fucking know. I remember playing Pokemon Red and Blue back in like 2001. Then doing the little cheat code that my brother showed me, where you get an infinite amount of red candies by doing this weird glitch where you have to catch this error code Pokemon in the Safari Zone by doing this weird fucking... you gotta glitch the system by moving your character in a certain manner up and down on the side of this, like, island, right? It was weird.
So in 2001, when you were, like, what, 5, 6? You cheated in the game.
6, 7, yeah. I've been cheating a lot.
Well, you can say...
I'm not a cheater, but I cheat a lot in video games. Type in hashtag fucking God mode in fucking San Andreas or some shit, you know?
Bro, like, man, I don't know. I don't cheat, man. My skills are too good. Especially, bro. Just got an 11 piece the other day, man.
Jeez.
It was I'm going to tell you guys a story. It was a 4v1. I was the last guy left. My teammates suck. My cousin was playing with me, too. He could
your cousin sucks?
I'm not saying he sucks. He's just not
trash.
He's just not as good as me.
Oh, okay.
So I was playing with this guy who had a pretty big ego, right? And he was like, bro, I'm a rush. I'm getting pissed off.
Sounds like yourself.
No, I was waiting for them to come to us. Okay. And then that guy died. I was like, shoot. It was a 2v4. Now it's a 1v4. Everybody had a level 3 armor. I had a level 2. I think I had a level 3 too, but if they all rush.
This is blackout?
This is blackout, yeah. Everybody's watching, right? Like, at that point, I have 7 kills. It's 4v1. Dude, first guy rushes me. That guy that killed my teammate. I kill him. I thirsted him like crazy. Second guy that I'm looking for him, I hide and wait for him to come and I kill him. Third guy's right behind him. I headshot him. Last guy has a sniper. I'm like, oh, dude, this is over. I'm dead. He shoots me once. I'm dead. He missed all his shots. Circle was on me, so I got lucky, and that guy was rushing me. Took my MP40 out, killed that guy, bro. I wasn't in the I was in the group chat, so I couldn't hear their reaction in the lobby. I just wanted to hear what they said. But it was a 4v1, and I won at the end. I wish I could save that game, but
you could save that shit. You don't have your.
I don't have it on, dude. I just realized that I was trying to look for.
You can change it on your settings on your PS4 controller.
Yeah, there is. But
hey, man, you need to do that when you get home.
But man, I'm like I said, moral of the story, I'm hella good at Call of Duty. Mm. I don't have to cheat in that game.
I never cheated in FPS or multiplayer games.
Well, I cheated in GTA just to get those stupid 5 stars off of me.
Pokemon is not a multiplayer game. I mean, I guess it is now with fucking
Pokemon Go, bro. Stupid, like, you know. Not you Pokemon know people Go. Gotten killed, like they ran on the street just to catch a Pokemon and they got hit by a car.
Well, I feel like those people were like, it was like natural selection. You know, survival
remember,
of the
fittest. Remember the Tide Pod challenge? People were eating Tide Pods?
Yeah, natural selection.
That
bro.
Is natural selection. Oh, and the Kiki challenge? Stupid.
What's that one where you jump out of the car?
You jump out of the car.
Dude, okay, so that's called Ghost Riding the Whip. Ever heard of that? It's a very popular thing, and it kind of like originated from the Bay Area. You could kind of like credit it to like the hyphy movement.
Oh.
So it's called Ghost Ride the Whip, in which what you do is. You put the car kind of like on, not on idle, but you
like
just
neutral?
Like, yeah, neutral at like a nice pace,
five
maybe
miles per
five,
hour.
Basically five, right? Then everyone in the car gets out and you dance to the music while the car is moving.
Dude, what the?
Or you could jump on the next level one was to jump on the hood or jump on top of the car. So it's called Ghost Ride the Whip because no one's in the car, but everyone's riding the car. And the car is just moving. It's ghost riding.
So natural selection has always been part
it's
of
it's always been part of the fucking Bay.
That's how you clear out.
That's the hyphy movement, bro.
That's how you clear out.
I grew up in the fucking Bay. I know how it is. I actually ghost rided many whips.
Hey, glad you're still here, man.
I know, to record this
podcast.
Unfortunately, I didn't fucking die and become an actual ghost. But it's fucking fun.
The Grim Reaper didn't want
don't
you.
Don't do it. But if you do it, make sure you...
Do it on an empty street?
Parking
lot?
Yes.
Make sure you do it on a busy freeway where their car is going 100 miles per hour, all right? And record and send it to us.
That's called a street show in Oakland.
Don't do what I just said. If you want to live. Bro, but the Jack in the Box is making me sleepy. I think it's a good end. It's a good...
you want to wrap it up? It sounds good. This is a good point, man. We got some shit... We got some shit through. Right on, man. All right,
guys. Peace.
Signing off, bruh.